The cordless is inside. Oh, yeah. Right here. The cordless is there. Yeah.
Good evening and a very happy new year to each and every one of you here. Thank you and salu for Brother Theo to come and share with us his Dharma knowledge. And this is the first talk in NBC for this year, 2016. So the title, the topic is The Art and Science of Meditation. In other words, the knowledge and the skill on what meditation is. And our Buddhist meditation, you can say it's different from the other, like say yoga meditation and all other things. Because ours is to cultivate the mind to lead towards liberation. And the other topic is the year of the monkey. So the monkey jumps around here and there. Most of us, our mind will also be something similar. So what object should we take to anchor the mind? Perhaps banana might be a good object. Anyway, as usual, thank you very much, Brother Theo, for coming down here to share the Dharma knowledge. We shall commence by taking refuge and observing the precepts.
Okay, let us calm our mind down, develop the faith, sadha, and the virya. Then we will commence the puja. We will start off with the salutation. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Patipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnā dānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērayā macchāpamādatthānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, 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 expect mindfully to learn Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the first talk for the year 2016. So as usual, wishing all a belated Happy New Year. So let us welcome this 2016 New Year with confidence, with faith, and with wholesomeness, so that we can truly live life, so that we will develop wholesomeness of mind. We will avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, and develop wisdom to purification of mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas. So if you want to be a true disciple of the Buddhas, in order for you to be worthy of him, you must at least follow his advice or heed his advice. So this is a very good beginning. Then if you have very good New Year resolution or aspiration, it can actually bring forth the causes and conditions for you to really, really make a difference to your life. So hopefully, 2016 can bring forth such benefits to all of you. Then today's topic, excuse me, I was given 4 topics. Then I say, okay, then Brother Gan replies, which one, Brother Teo? Well, must choose. So I was looking at the 4 topics, then I saw the last one, very interesting. The last one is how to tame the monkey mind in the year of the monkey. You don't only train or tame your mind in the year of the monkey, understand? You should, if you understand the importance of this training, to do it the moment you understand its importance. Then the other topic is the first topic, the art and science of meditation. So I saw the two are quite related. So that's why I say I choose these two topics. So hopefully, it can allow you to develop the understanding, to train your mind so that you can start the year 2016 with a big difference. The mind that is not trained cannot meditate, cannot understand the Dhamma. So the training of the mind to be mindful, then stabilizing it to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness, is the most important training. It's not just tame the mind, understand? You tame the mind, you can use other method or technique. Taming the mind means what? You tame a child, or you tame a very violent person. Tame means you try to put it under control, understand? Yeah. But putting it under control is a form of suppression, a form of focusing, concentration, and all those things. So the title appear like very relevant, very meaningful. We have to tame the mind. Then the question is, how do you tame the mind in the year of a monkey? And because this mind there is not tame like a monkey, jump here, jump there, run around, do whatever it wants. The actual understanding is the training of this mind. When you train this mind until it understands how it becomes heedless, how it becomes deluded, and how it gets itself entangled into all those karmic negativity that give rise to suffering, all of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, unhappiness, all this lead to suffering. So when you understand how your mind becomes like that, then you don't have to like tame it or control it no more. But this mind that is trained, develop wisdom, develop understanding, then it know what to do. You don't have to control or suppress or force it to be quiet. Yeah. You want to force something not to run around, what you do? Yeah? What do you do? That's why you tie your dog to something, you know, so that it will not run away from that pillar or the column that you tie the dog to. Or you confine it into a small doghouse. Then for your children, most of you, you confine them to your house. You don't allow them to go out during those periods or those times. And you think by doing that, you can tame them. You can exercise some form of control over them. But tonight's topic is about meditation. So like Brother Tay say, this is not any other meditation. We are referring to the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this understanding is very important. How can we develop the training of the mind? Yeah? So that this mind is not heedless. Heedless means what? Yeah? What is the meaning of heedless? When you are heedless means what? The easiest answer is what? Huh? You are not heedful. But it doesn't explain anything. <isn't it? laughs> A heedless person is not heedful. Then what is heedfulness? And you understand what is heedfulness, then you understand what is heedlessness. When you are not heedful, you are heedless. So what is heedfulness? Yeah? To be heedful is what? Louder, louder. You must be ever mindful. Good. That is a very, very accurate and precise answer. You need to be ever mindful. You need to be attentive. You need to be aware of what is going on. Then you become heedful. Understand? Then the Buddha said, the moment you are heedful, you will never die. The heedful never die. That's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. This Dhammapada verse 21 is very important. Then the Buddha also warned those who are heedless. He said, the opposite is also true. If you are heedless, the heedless are as if dead. Then he say, heedlessness is the path to the dead. Means spiritually, you are dead. You got no chance of awakening. Then before the Buddha passed away in the Parinibbana, he again reminded all the monks. He quoted the famous advice, apamadena sampadeta. What is the meaning of apamadena? It comes from the word apamada, which is heedfulness, anasana. Sampadeta means you strive on with heedfulness. That's it, the Buddha said. That is the only thing you need to do. Because the moment you are heedful, Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed, you will become enlightened because the heedful never die. And heedfulness is the path to the depthless. You can become enlightened. So this understanding is very important. This is the core teaching. So if you want to train your mind, you have to understand this. If you want to learn to meditate, you must also understand this. That's why without heedfulness, you are seated, you cannot proceed. So we need to define this heedfulness. What is heedfulness? What is this word heedfulness? SS, is it? So the Pali word is apamada. If you want to understand this word, you have to look at Dhammapada verse 23. What is Dhammapada verse 23? What is Dhammapada verse 23? Can recall that? Or maybe we step by step. Dhammapada verse 22 first. Verse 21 I already told you. Verse 22. Then verse 23. This one I already explained. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this one make clear to you very important importance of heedfulness. Then Dhammapada verse 22. What does it say? What does it say? The wise one, when they distinctly understand the big difference between heedlessness and heedfulness, based on Dhammapada verse 21, where they see the importance of this, the wise one intend on what? The wise one intend on what? When they see the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, what do they intend on? The wise one, they already got wisdom, isn't it? So they intend to be what? Let's say now, you know the danger of heedlessness, you know the importance of heedfulness, this is very important. Then, the danger of heedlessness. What will you do? No. Before that, if you know this is danger, this is important, you see distinctly the difference between these two. What will you do? You will intend on what? You will intend on which one? The wise one will intend on heedfulness. Then what happened to them? They will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. That's why the wise one will intend on heal. They will determine to be heedful one as well. That's why they determine to train their mind to be ever mindful. Otherwise they are assisted. They can't see. My cable not long enough. can shift the table. That's why you must have creativity. If you cannot reach, you move the table nearer to the whiteboard. So distinctly understanding the difference between these two, the wise will intend on heedfulness. So wise will intend on heedfulness. Then they rejoice in the rhyme of the aria. Means the enlightened one. Understand? Huh? The arias are the enlightened one. So this is a very important understanding. Distinctly understanding the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise will intend on heedfulness. When they do that, then they rejoice in the rhyme of the aria. So this one reinforced Dhammapada verse 21. So if you want to be the wise one, you better intend on heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore. And then if you want to understand what is heedfulness, verse 23 confirm everything. What is verse 23? If you can't even remember and understand this, you cannot cultivate. Understand? If you don't know verse 23, it means you don't know what heedfulness is. What is verse 23? No. That one is verse 21. What is Dhammapada verse 23? Wow, kaulat. This has been repeated many times in the note. Huh? No. Just Dhammapada verse 23. What is it? Wow. If like that, very difficult for them to go, you know. Really? You don't laugh, no. This is Dhammapada verse. Eh? I'll give you some hint. The constantly steadfast is at the end. The constantly? Constantly meditative. And ever mindful. And steadfast one. They were realize what? Huh? The bond free? Means you are destined for enlightenment. Understand? So this is what heedfulness is all about. And the two parts. You hold on to this practice of cultivation steadfastly, the constantly meditative and ever mindful. And steadfast one, they will realize the bond free Nibbana. So, what do you need? You only need to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. Then you are heedful, then you are destined for enlightenment. Not difficult, is it? Is it difficult? Huh? To maintain heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. But this word constantly is not easy to maintain. So you must understand what is meditation. What is the meaning of constantly meditative? Means you are constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And to do that, you have to be ever mindful. That's why it's daily mindfulness. Understand? If it's not daily mindfulness, you cannot have ever mindful in the midst of life. That's why the heedless are as if dead. If you cannot be ever mindful in the midst of life, you are as if dead. That's why no amount of sitting, retreat, and all those things can help you much. It can bring forth maybe some form of calmness experience to you, good meditative experiences, good mind state. Then you think you have improved, you have become beautiful. Then you think you have developed the insight jnana and all those things. Then what happened? You come out of the retreat. You go back into your daily life. What happened to you? You cannot maintain this heedfulness. Then, throughout the day, you go back to square one, heedless again. Then what did the Buddha say under Dhammapada verse 21? The heedless are as if dead. Then how you expect to be enlightened? Understand that? That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is the only way which is correct. Ekayana bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu. This is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation and suffering, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. And the four foundation of mindfulness, the whole training is so complete. And you have to do them one by one, starting with Anapanasati. After you have trained your mind to be mindful, to be ever mindful, then only you can go on to the next training, which is mindfulness of the four postures. Means standing, aware, walking, aware. Means no more heedless, understand that? Aware is attentive, without thought. Sitting down, also aware. Lying down, also aware. So these four postures are basic postures. You can't even be aware of the four basic postures, then how are you to be ever mindful throughout the day? After this, the third training is Sati Sampajana. You have to develop mindfulness of all action, all movement within the present moment. Means all the connecting activity within the four postures. You have to be mindful of them. That's why in the sutta is mentioned, standing, looking forward, bending, stretching, turning, you must be fully aware. Then wearing your robe or your clothing, putting on the shoulder cloth, then the outer robe, all the three layers of robe where the monk have to wear. For you, it's your clothing. How you actually go about doing all these things. Then you are mindful of all activity and movement, even while answering nature's call. That's why bending, stretching, turning, walking, whatever, you have to be mindful. But you check your life. Are you mindful? You can go back and check. What are you doing throughout the day? What are you doing? Except those who are already cultivating. What are you all doing most of the time? Too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Commenting, reacting, judging. Say all those heedless things. Then arise all the inappropriate wrong speech because the views, the opinion very strong, the conditioning very strong. Then worry about this, worry about that. So much so, the heedless eyes you did is very true, that statement which the Buddha mentioned. So if you understand the seriousness of being heedless, the danger of being heedless, if I were you, I would never allow that heedlessness to arise. I would determine to train myself. So this first part, is it clear? You have to understand this first. Then, now the second part is where the hard work is. How do you train yourself to develop this heedfulness? This is what the second one is all about. Understand? So instead of taming, don't try to tame. Understand? Just train that mind. The moment the mind, which is the mundane mind, understand it is no longer deluded, then what happened? What happened if you train this mind until it's no longer deluded? It will not be deceived by the phenomenal world, by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That's like the phenomenal born of consciousness. They will have no power over you. They cannot delude you anymore. Thought loses its power to delude you. Because you understand their universal characteristic. You have seen them all through your mindfulness, through your awareness. Then you understand who you are, what you are. That's how you liberate your mind, awaken. Then this mind that is liberated and awakened, it will not behave like before. It will not be heedless anymore. It will be ever mindful, silent, peaceful, and aware within. This is what meditation is all about. So, how do we train this mind? Eh? So, don't use this theme. Use the word training. Training this whatever mind. Eh? Monkey mind or mundane mind or heedless mind. Eh? Heedless, mundane, or your thinking mind. Because this thinking mind is your mundane mind. This one think a lot. That's why I say you need to train. But the true mind, you don't need to train. It is your true nature. It's already the meditative state. You don't have to do anything. But living beings' problem is what? Through your delusion, you grasp and cling on to your thought process, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. You thought this is real, this is what you are. That's how you fall. That's how you become heedless. You get yourself entangled. Then under the first noble truth, what did the Buddha say? The final summary. What did the Buddha say? Huh? What is the final summary of the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha? What is the final summary? The Buddha said, in short, what is it? the five aggregate of clinging or grasping leads to suffering. That's why when you deludedly grasp and cling on to this mundane mind or thinking mind or condition arising mind, you suffer. Because you fail to understand that there is another mind which is your true mind. And this one you have to realize it. The true mind. Or your true nature. This one, you have to realize it. You have to connect to it. And how do you develop the ability to realize this true mind and connect to this one? This is the one that can develop the direct seeing to awaken to the truth, to see things as they are. So the true mind is the meditative mind. And this is the silent mind. So this true mind is the meditative mind. The silent mind. That is ever mindful. This is the one that can insight into phenomena. This true mind can insight into phenomena. To realize the three universe, characteristics of nature, three universe, characteristics of nature. So this one is very important. If you don't develop the ability to connect, to realize this true mind, which is the meditative mind or the silent mind, it cannot meditate. It cannot awaken. It cannot insight into the three characteristics of nature. Because what did the Buddha teach is vipassana meditation. Remember, you all cultivate vipassana meditation. What is vipassana? Vipassana got two words. It is one word but made of two separate words. Vi is the characteristics of nature. The three characteristics are impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Passana is to insight into these three characteristics. So whatever meditation or mind training that can allow you to do that is called vipassana. That's why vipassana is not a method, not a technique. Is an understanding. Whatever that you do in the name of meditation that can allow you to awaken is vipassana. And if you don't have this true mind, this silent mind, which is ever mindful, you cannot insight into it. That's why thought-based meditation, you end up staying at the five aggregate of form and mind. You think a lot. Everything you arise is the thought. And the thought is egoic, grasping. And you think this one you use to meditate, it can allow you to realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond time. Impossible. That's why you have to realize the true mind. So all of meditation is to teach you to train your mind to be silent, peaceful, aware. But not in a focused concentration. Focus, concentration, little energy field. It's still a thought, thought-based, one-pointedness. One-pointedness that fix everything at one point, kill everything at one point. Then the thought say, no thought. The mind that is in one-pointedness is a thought, but because it's full of concentration energy, it fix the mind until the thought cannot arise, suppress, control. That is energy field. That is what all the jhana and all those things is all about. So when you do that, it is still within the field of thought. Your mind is not a free mind. You cannot develop the daily mindfulness to be aware throughout the day to understand how you function as a human being. How your mundane mind arise and pass away. How through delusion it gets itself entangled. That's why mindfulness is to be developed in the daily life. You have to be ever mindful from moment to moment to see clearly, to understand, and to awaken to the universal characteristic. So this second part, is it clear now? Yeah? You have to meditate with a true mind. Not the mundane mind. So now I recall, recap. First, you have to understand that the Buddha's teaching point towards the importance of heedfulness. You know you must develop heedfulness. You cannot afford to be heedless. You cannot afford to be heedlessly lost in thought, think a lot, worry a lot, complain a lot, actively doing all those heedless things. So to be heedful, the Buddha already explained very clearly, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. To be ever mindful, first, you must train your mind to be mindful. Correct or not? Correct or not? If you are not mindful, you cannot be ever mindful. Because when you train your mind to be mindful, then only you can be ever mindful. Means the stability of that mindfulness when realized through the daily mindfulness, then only you can become ever mindful in the midst of life. So now we ask ourselves the first question. How do we train our mind to be mindful? Or in sati. How? Based on your understanding, how do you do that? This is the third part, where you really, really develop the understanding to meditate. Because like I always advise you all, meditation has to be done with understanding. If you don't understand, you do, you become gullible. You cannot progress. So at least now you understand what heedfulness is. So based on the previous talk I gave, what is sati? Sati is the? Can read that? Awareness before the knowing or the perceiving. Means what? Just aware, attentive, without thought. Before labeling. The moment you know, you label it already, like this one, table. The moment you label, it is already no longer in sati. That's why perceiving also same. The moment you perceive, the mind arises already. You are no longer in sati. So, sati is the awareness before the knowing, before the labeling, before the mind perceive, before the word come in. So you have to train your mind to develop this sati. So what do you do? How do you develop sati? You all have learned meditation before. You attended Thursday class, Tuesday class, Sunday class. You heard so much of this Dhamma talk. How do you develop this training? To be mindful. You need the spiritual faculty, isn't it? The five spiritual faculty, isn't it? Without the five spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be there. That's why the two set of essential Dhamma, the five mental hindrances, the five mental hindrances. Hindrances. And the five spiritual faculty. These two are very important. The Buddha said the reason why you are not able to be mindful or heedful is because of the mental hindrance. These five mental hindrance, they are called hindrance of mind. That's why it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Understand not? From being aware. That's why the hindrance, if you are not careful throughout the day, you arise them until they become habitual, then you become heedless. But the habitual thinking, the habitual stirring of mind, reaction, the habitual movement of the mundane mind make you heedless. You think a lot. You worry a lot. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so you never live life because you are never with the moment. You are never aware of what is going on. You are a bit heedless most of the time. And you couldn't care less because you don't want to train your mind to be ever mindful, to understand and put to test all of the teaching that the Buddha has given you. That's why sati, mindfulness, is the first factor of enlightenment. Without sati, you are dead. You cannot start. Then when there is sati, you can use sati to investigate the Dhamma. Then you can use sati to become heedful. Understand not? Without sati, you cannot become mindful. And when you are mindful, only there's a possibility of being ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why life itself is the meditation, because it is in life that you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Starting with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, or right living. They're accumulating to all the four right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So, sati is very important. Without sati, you are heedless. Without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. Without sati, you cannot cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Without sati, you cannot cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Without sati, you are as if dead. That's why all this point towards the importance of sati. So, the Buddha said, because of these five mental hindrances, you become heedless. So what must you do when you have developed this understanding? What did the Buddha advise? What is it? You have to cultivate the opposite five, because he said, don't go and deludedly suppress, control, or do anything about the five hindrances. Because these are hindrances that arise due to what? Due to your lack of the spiritual faculty. When you lack this five spiritual faculty, then the mental hindrance arise. So the Buddha said, don't blame the hindrance. Don't try to control it, suppress it, or force it not to arise. Like your sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor. That's why when you are sleepy, go and sleep. That's why. When you study for exam, you know that. When you are so sleepy, you try to study, within 1 or 2 minutes, you're sleepy again. And you are dozing off and on, forcing yourself to wake up. No effect. This way of studying. Because in the younger days, when I study, I know. Then I came to understand. If I am tired, I need to sleep, I sleep, I go and sleep. Even 20 minutes, half an hour, after that, I become very fresh, then I can study. Meditation is the same. Don't force it, don't suppress it, don't control it. The whole of meditation is about relaxation. Remember? The first support, relax. Then, aware. Aware means silent, no thought. Awareness is sati, before the knowing. Means no more mental chattering, no more thinking, no more movement of thought. So this is very important. If you understand that the hindrances are the one that cause you to be heedless, and you cannot be in the meditative state, so now you have to cultivate this opposite five, which is the five spiritual faculty. Now, how to cultivate? How to cultivate? You tell me how. The Buddha has already explained, I have already explained so many times. How do you cultivate this five spiritual faculty? England last night, or the Thursday class also asked that question. You must have faith, isn't it? The first spiritual faculty. How do you develop faith? You start with puja, understand? That's why all this devotional practice, you must not underestimate them. This one you even have to do at home, understand? Devotional practices. That's why the Buddha asked you to chant. Salutation. Take refuge. Renew your precept. Then recite the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you understand who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. He is perfect in wisdom and virtue. He is the fully enlightened one. And you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. And to have such a great being to be your teacher, you should count your blessing. And you will have a lot of gratitude and faith in him, because he is the wisest and the most virtuous in the whole universe now, not only on this planet Earth. And because of that, your faith becomes very strong. Then you ask yourself, yeah, I have such a great teacher who has such great teaching that can transform me from a heedless, deluded Putujana into an enlightened being that is free of all suffering, that can live the wholesome life, the beautiful life of the noble one or the enlightened one. Then why are you still waiting and hesitating? For those who understand, they were determined to go this way, to learn the teaching. That's why from Sada, which is the faith, you will develop the virya, spiritual zeal, to cultivate this understanding and this teaching. Then when you are determined to go this way, you ask yourself, how can I develop mindfulness? So the Buddha says, start with anapanasati, anasana, the four foundations of mindfulness. Then, mindfulness are the four postures. Then the daily mindfulness, sati, sampajana, and all things. Then only contemplate on the four elements, 32 parts, the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. Then go to the second foundation of vedana, nupassana, then citta nupassana, then only finally dhamma nupassana, ending up with the four noble truths, which includes the fourth noble truth, which is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why finally the four foundation of mindfulness will lead you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. That will become heedfulness. And this is what meditation is all about. So when your sati is developed through this training, first, anapanasati, or any skillful means. You know what other skillful means we mobilize or not? Anapanasati is to anchor your sati to your breathing, because your breathing is always within the moment. And when you are aware of this in and out breath without thought, you are in the present moment awareness without thought. That's why you are silent, you are aware. Then you can touch your true mind. And that is the mind that can meditate, that can understand. Then after that, you use it to be aware of your four postures, aware of everything that is going on in life. That's how you develop sati, to be ever mindful, to see yourself clearly, to understand who are you, what are you, to understand how your mind arises and passes away depending on certain law. The Buddha explained it under Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination, the dwelling. He said everything is not what you think. They arise and pass away depending on each other. Dependent on something, something arises. Then dependent on other thing, another thing arises. Then with the cessation of this thing, the cessation of that thing arises. So the dependent origination, they got the forward movement and the backward movement. Then when you understand, the wisdom will allow you to free and liberate your mind. So this is what meditation is all about. Then when you train your mind to develop sati, initially you got two choices. First, if your hindrance is still there, your spiritual faculty are not strong, what do you do? What do you do? This one, first one is puja, then four foundation of mindfulness. But to do this four foundation, you must have already got sati, understand? That's why you pay respect to the Buddha. You develop sati, body and mind as one, no thought. Then when you do four foundation, you will develop sati. Then you can anchor it to either anapanasati or any of the object of meditation, skillful means. Then the other way is, let's say your spiritual faculty are still not strong. This one, still not strong. Then you have a lot of mental hindrance. What must you do? If you still want to meditate, let's say, because most people don't have the spiritual faculty yet, the reason being they don't do this puja consistently. They don't reflect and contemplate on who the Buddha is. What is the Dhamma all about? So when you don't have this spiritual faculty, you can still meditate, the Buddha said. That's why he teaches you all the other contemplation, anusati. You got Buddha anusati, Dhamma anusati, Sangha anusati, then Marana anusati, contemplation on death and all those things, and all the other anusati, there are 10. Then the Buddha said, you can also use a skillful mean to decondition your heedless thinking. That's why he teach you how to develop metta, the four Brahma Vihara state of mind, so that your mind become peaceful, aware. It will train your mind to develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being, especially metta. When you radiate loving kindness, when you cultivate compassion, when you rejoice, sadhu, 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 you train your mind to be aware, to have this joy, the inner peace leading to the inner well-being. Then what I like most is the mind-sweeping method. This one is very powerful, very useful. Even Mahayana use it, but they use it using the bead. You know the bead? They got the small one, the round one, then the longer one. The longer one, some they got 108. Even long or short, you know what they do or not? You think they just chant Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. No, actually that chanting is another cultivation, because to cultivate affinity with the great being. What they do is when they move the bead, is the touch, the sensation, the feeling. That's how you feel. You don't think anymore. The moment you touch and feel, you don't think. This is to help you to decondition your heedless thinking. But if you don't understand, you just do like that, it will not benefit you. You cannot develop the training, because they do it day and out until they are so mindful. Until they don't think, they always feel. Then feel, then feel, then feel. Every bit they touch, they feel. Then when they do that, they decondition their heedless thinking. When this heedless thinking is no more, then they become silent, peaceful, aware. Same as the mind sweeping method. What did I teach you? Relax body and mind, silent everything. Then what you do? Feel, don't think. Close your eyes, feel your forehead. Feel means what? Like you feel the floor. If you are thinking, you cannot be sensitive. You cannot feel the floor. But if you don't think, you are very sensitive. All the vibration, the coldness of the floor, everything, your tactile consciousness will detect, your awareness will detect, but no word on that phenomena itself. So likewise, when you feel your forehead, you only need to be sensitive. Means you feel. Like the floor, you feel, you don't think. Then, if you can sense any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax into it. The reason why you have to relax into it is because human beings throughout the day, they are so heedless. They got so much problem in life. They got so much stress, so much worry, so much anxiety, so much unhappiness. That's why they are full of stress and tension. That's why you need to relax all this, de-stress yourself, understand? That's why meditation is to recuperate, to de-stress. It's better than going to spa or massage. This one is a very beautiful way of de-stressing, relaxing and recuperating. That's why the mind sweeping method, when you feel relaxed and just aware, then you sweep it down. You do this, your mind become peaceful and quiet very fast. Because it just feel, it don't think. So you decondition all this habitual thinking so that it become peaceful, aware. If you do this long enough, you become very quiet, very peaceful. Then you hardly think. Then you can combine with loving kindness and metta. Especially when you come to your facial muscle. I teach you how to visualize yourself in a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Radiant smile means what? When you can smile, there is joy, you know? There is happiness, you know? There is no more problem, you know? That's why your mind relaxes by itself. Then your body feels better. Then the inner peace that you develop through this mind sweeping method, because you reverse all this heedless thinking, you decondition it, and it becomes peaceful, quiet, aware. Then you radiate love and metta. That's why you radiate, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well, you feel it. As you do, you feel it. The awareness and the feeling go together. Then you don't think anymore. Then as you do this, your mind becomes beautiful. The inner peace that developed through the deconditioning of the heedless thinking or the mind sweeping method, combined with metta or loving kindness to bring about inner joy or inner peace, leading to inner well-being. So these two minds, they are very beautiful. They are the byproduct of meditation. That's why you train your mind to meditate this way. You will develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then when you are peaceful, aware, silent, without thought, that is what sati is all about. Then you can allow this to be completely silent and still. Then it will touch the true mind. Then you are in the meditative state. You are in the silent state of mind. Finally, you will realize pasati, which is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So this is what meditation is all about. Then mind sweeping method got many advantages because you train to actually locate your mind at the place you want to locate it. You want it to be at the forehead, it's there. That's why that training is very important. You want it to be peaceful, silent at the heart, it will stay there. It will not run. Then at the same time, it deconditions your heedless thinking. Then you become peaceful, you become aware. Then when you radiate love and metta, you develop merits. You develop inner well-being. Then there is clarity, because this silence will allow you to see things as they are. But the problem is you cannot maintain this state. You have to maintain the religious routine, the constant cultivation and practice. So the Buddha said, in order to move faster, you have to straight away use the object of meditation to anchor this mind that you have trained. That's why he advised Anapanasati, which is a very neutral object. But you can use any other object. You can use any mantra, Buddha, or Iti Peso, Bhagawa, Arahang, that can make you calm, peaceful, and aware. You chant until the awareness and the chanting become one. Then finally, you will realize there is no one to chant. It's just the vibration and the awareness. This is what Pure Land chanting is all about. Then the beats also say, feel, feel, deconditioning. Then you start to understand all these methods and techniques are just a skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, so that it is with the object of meditation, which is always with the moment. That's why when you understand, then you know why you do. You don't become gullible. They just tell you, you're not rising, falling, this is vipassana. Then what you do? Every time you want to meditate, you must note rising, falling, otherwise you are not doing vipassana. But you didn't understand, vipassana cannot be done. Vipassana is an awakening. You have to insight into the characteristic of nature. It is not a practice or a cultivation. And that's all. Method and technique is very, what they call, mechanical, understand or repetitive. You keep on repeating. It dulls the mind. It don't have sati. But when you silence your mind and allow the object of meditation to stabilize that silence, that's why as you meditate, even Anapanasati also say, rising, falling, or whatever. You must do it understanding. You must not verbalize to the noting, which is the thought. You just silent, aware. Then let the awareness detect your rising and falling. Let the phenomena come to your awareness. Then you will understand very clearly. Then it will be totally different from the one that note and try to realize it and try to look for it, because there is a mind actively craving, with a craving, trying to do, trying to note, wanting to be enlightened. And that doing is by the thought, which is active. That's why you cannot be silent. Then the worst is when the object of meditation become very subtle, like very still, until you cannot feel it. What do they ask you to do? They ask you to go and note sitting and touching. The mind already want to become very quiet, you go and arise the mind again through that noting, through that verbalization. That is not the way to meditate. The way to meditate is when everything becomes so quiet, so subtle, so still. It is because the mind is entering sati on its own. Means when you do anapanasati or whatever, when you are really mindful without thought, then the spiritual faculty will arise. Sati will arise. Then it will stabilize. Then you will experience the byproduct of sati, which is the piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor, a spiritual joy, a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture. It will arise as you meditate. Then when it arises, you must not be attached to it. You must not cling onto it. You must not grasp onto it and want it repeated. No, relax into it, silent. Then allow it to flow naturally, mindful. Then this piti will become more and more quiet, more and more refined, until it becomes sukha, a very blissful state. The mind becomes so blissful. Then you will go through that too, relax, silent. Then you will experience what they call paucity. Paucity is a silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the meditative mind. And when you hit that, don't do anything. Just maintain that silence. Allow it to be. Then allow it to stabilize. Then during that time, you are very different. You are very mindful, very sad. Whatever movement is like magnified. Then anything you do, even the blinking of your eye, the turning of your hand, or your whatever slightest movement, during that time you're breathing, anapanasati, it will become very subtle, like no more breathing. But later on, when this sati accumulate into paucity, then it becomes the silent mind, the meditative mind. It will regain back its sensitivity. Well, when the mind is in sati, all the subtle breathing and movement and internal breathing, it will be aware. Then you realize there is still a movement. And it's very clear, very, very clear. It's not a thought. It's just fully aware. But you need to communicate. I need to describe it. That's why books also have to write about it. So words are needed when you describe it. But when you meditate, there is no word. You will awaken to all those things. So this is what that meditation is all about. Mind sweeping method to train, then anchor it with an object of meditation. But if your spiritual faculty is already very stable, then when you already develop the spiritual faculty until it becomes unshakable, technically you don't need object of meditation anymore. Your meditation becomes so simple. Anytime you sit, it will be silent still. No more movement. Initially maybe it takes a few minutes for that, what they call the mind that is still in some form of heedless state because of your daily life, because you cannot manage your daily life yet. Then when you want to sit, you will realize this sankhara is still going on because your unfinished daily life problem and business and all those things. Not until you have wisdom, grasping become little or no more, then this sankhara also become little or no more. Then throughout the day, your spiritual faculty is there. Whether working or not working, resting or whatever you do, the spiritual faculty are there. You are ever mindful. During that state, sleeping, sitting, walking, and whatever you do, no different. Your mind state is the same. That is what meditation is all about. You can be ever mindful in the midst of life, even when walking, running, doing your daily chores. Even attending to whatever thing. To normal people, it's like very stressful already. Very difficult. But you can do it very easily, very swift. You heard of Brother Song sharing after he came back from Thailand. I think the Tuesday class on. He went there to help out in the 45-day retreat. And you know, these few helpers, they got so much thing to do. A few hundred. Then all the place, all the washing, cleaning, and all those things. And not enough time. Then he said, they distinguish between the monk's bowl, spoon, and the normal people one. So they are all separate. Then you had to do many things. Then he said, wow, he was like a workhorse. Like, everything has to do up very fast. But he said he was very, very surprised. He can be in that state of mindfulness throughout that day, doing just that. And there was no problem at all. No stress, no worry, no thought, nothing. You just do. And can be in that state of sati throughout the day, just like that. Then he can just relax, meditate, go about doing all those things. How come it's possible? Because he has trained. Before he went, he already trained. He already connected. He already had the understanding and the ability to do it. That's why I even told him very lightly, you will experience much more deeper things. And that was what happened to him. Then he came back, the sharing was so beautiful. You know Mandarin, it will be better. You hear direct from him. It's all recorded. Okay, so with this, I will end my today's sharing. So I hope this will make it a lot more clearer to you all, so that you know what meditation is all about. The key is to train your sati. You have to start with the five spiritual faculties. Then don't underestimate puja, mind sweeping method, train. Then you need to anchor the mind to a object of meditation, a skillful means, use it. You can also use bowing. Bowing, non-stop bowing. I got one teacher who told me, Mahayana teacher, Master Xuan Hong. He said, you want to become his disciple, Ken, you must take refuge. Then you must promise him to keep the five precepts, to cultivate the meditation, then to bow to the Buddha. Namo Pansi Sijia Moni Pho, homage to the Sakyamuni Buddha, original Buddha, original teacher. He said, you must do 10,000 bow within latest, not more than 3 months. So that was the condition set. Then I can do it because I knew it's important. So I just do bow. Every day I did about, I think, easily 300 bows. So within a month or so, the 10,000 bow can be finished. 300 a day is not much, or 350 a day. 30 days, 10,000 plus a bit. So you can break it out into 3 sessions. Early morning when you wake up, before you sleep, and in between. You bow 100 over bow. It's not difficult. Then later on, I remember when the thing get into rhythm, suddenly I realize what sati is, body and mind as one without thought. Then after that, as I move out from there, how come like that one? Like slow motion one, but nothing slow down. Everything is just the way it is. But like the mind and the movement as one. Then after that, I can see my thought, I can see my mental, I can see so many things in life itself. Then I realize the sati is like that one, no thought one, no word one, nothing. Body and mind as one, phenomenal and mind as one. That's how I came to know about the spacious awareness, specific phenomenal awareness and all these things. That's why without this training, you cannot develop the understanding and the transformation. Okay? So, with this, I will end my talk. Eh? Thank you so much for your patience. Yeah. If you got any question, you can ask. Today more time and early. 9:47 or 48. Which clock is accurate? This one is 9:50. Never mind. Yeah, if you got any question, you can ask. No question means all understood, huh? Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah. You want to ask something? Yes. Pass the mic to Brother Gan, because for the recording.
This one is a direct translation from Mandarin. What is the meaning of ever mindful mind without any dwelling?
You better
in
read.
因无所住而生起.
Somebody write on the board for me. Don't mind. So that people can follow. You know Mandarin or not? You know Mandarin? Write on the board. This one is a very good question. This one comes from the Mahayana teaching. I am English educated. I learned my Mandarin from my brother and sister who went to school. They come back, they read the book aloud. Read until the Mandarin word also. I can follow. Although most of them, the meaning I don't know. But the pronunciation or more or less, I got it. Teachers writing better. So much more neater. Can read or not? Yeah, this is Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling. Read. Read. Okay, this E is, what is the meaning? In wu so zhu, no dwelling. Okay, then this one? Er sing, er sen. What is qi sing? Okay. Means? I know. Just now you read your translation. You read your translation. I just want to know whether it's correct or not. Your English translation. This one is a very important understanding. This is from the Diamond Sutta. Then the last part. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think this might be wrongly.
Yeah. Never mind, don't worry. But roughly, I think I know the deep meaning behind. Because Huining, you remember Huining? When he heard that merchant chanting, he was delivering firewood to that place. Then this merchant who went to the fifth patriarch and came back, he was given this diamond sutta to chant. Then when he reached this part, he said the mind must have no dwelling. Straight away, Huining came to great enlightenment. So now I repeat. Your mind must have no dwelling. You can awaken or not. Your Huining was born without the mundane mind, understand? That's why his mind got no dwelling. The mind doesn't dwell anywhere. It's just aware. Where he don't have the mundane mind, that nature just shine for. The last part is Yisen what? You read this one. I cannot remember. What is this? Qi is what? No, Qi Xing is what? What type of mind? No, what is the word Qi? This word is... Bo, this one is what? This word is what? Huh? No, what is Ying? What is No, what is Won't arise or what? Then. Then arise what? What mind? The mind. Means the true mind. Then the true mind arises. The mind must have no dwelling, then only the true mind arises. Which is correct. Because the true mind, like I told you, this one cannot come out to live. Understand not? This one is not a being. It has got nothing. It's before the knowing. It's the direct seeing. Understand? Just aware. That's it. And this one, no such thing as aware of what? The moment you're aware of the fan or the table, there is not awareness anymore. That's why awareness, sati, is awareness before the knowing. The moment you know, you perceive, your mind dwell where? Your mind dwell on the table already, understand? The mind dwell on the fan. Dwell on your hearing of my voice. That's why before the knowing, there is no dwelling. And that mind is just aware. That's why when you have this mind, then the true mind arises. That's why the mind must have no dwelling. That's why in the, what they call Black Form Sutta, Sixth Patriarch explained. Even in the Diamond Sutta, Sakyamuni Buddha explained. Because Subhati asked, how should the cultivator dwell if he want to cultivate the Bodhisattva way to become Samasambuddha? Sakyamuni just replied, he must dwell with the true mind. That's it. Constantly dwell with the true mind. That's why ever mindful. That's why you are ever aware with the true mind. And this is general spacious awareness or specific phenomenal awareness. Where you need to live life, so you need to be aware of specific phenomena. Then, of course, you need to know things. You need to do things. Then you arise the perception. But you will not cling, you will not hold. You will arise and you will pass away. Because this is mundane mind. Because to live, you have to arise the mundane mind. To communicate. To use word. To interpret. To explain. All this, you need words. That's why you need to arise the five aggregate of form and mind. But these are non-grasping aggregate because there is no more delusion. It has developed the understanding through the direct seeing, the characteristics of nature, all understood, no more deluded. That's why this five aggregate of form and mind, the form and mind, which is a human being, it can live. It can use the thought to arise pure thought, right leading to right speech, right action and right living. Because it has right view, understand? It's no longer deluded. No longer what they call deluded by the phenomenal world, by the condition arising world. It has already developed the direction, the insight. So this Mahayana teaching is very important. When you understand, there's a Huining straight away awakened. Where his mind was like that, there was no dwelling. He just fully aware throughout the day. Where he was born without the mundane mind. Even though he is illiterate, uneducated, he never go to school. He only know some dialect, understand not? So Dhamma is very beautiful, very wonderful. You don't need education to develop the awakening. Actually, simple mind is the best mind to meditate, to awaken. Too much conditioning, too complicated, that mind cannot learn. Understand? Well, that mind have too much knowledge. Knowledge become a obstruction, burden. That's why Mahayana teaching, Wu Liang Shou Jing, he say, Suo Zi Zhang. You heard of this or not? Suo Zi. Whatever you know is an obstruction. Knowledge is an obstruction. That's why knowledge bind, wisdom free. Knowledge is rigid. Knowledge is concept. Wisdom is understanding, not rigid on. When you understand means you understand the nature's law. It's just like addition. You don't become rigid on. Addition. Once you understand the mechanics behind addition, then no more argument. I used to give this analogy because like a joke, but it really stand out. There was a primary school student. He went to school. Then he listened, so he thought he very smart. Then he came back, the father asked him, what do you learn? He said, I learned arithmetic. He said, what did the teacher teach? I said, forget about the teacher. This teacher is very confusing. And the father asked why. He said, one day he will teach you 2 plus 5 is 7. Then next day he forgot, he said, 4 plus 3 is 7. Then 6 plus 1 also 7. Don't know what he is trying to teach. See? Knowledge become like that. But when you understand, all the three are correct. The teacher was correct. But the student that is rigid, that's why he go back, he will argue with the other classmate. If the classmate say 4 plus 3 is 7, he said, no, my teacher said 2 plus 5 is 7. He said, you're wrong. This is very typical, isn't it? Of the Buddhist society, vipassana. My method, vipassana. Your method, not vipassana. You argue. The Buddha already said 84,000 Dhamma Dao. Any direction you can penetrate the Dhamma Dao. Why you reach it until must be this method? Means what? You must walk like the Buddha, sleep like the Buddha, talk like the Buddha, eat like the Buddha, then you think you can become the Buddha. Canada. You follow how I talk, how I walk. You think you can become a Buddha? Cannot. Because the Buddha is the embodiment of his cultivation, his wisdom and virtue. Not how he walk, how he eat, and how he sleep. This one, the form and mind, is just chemically conditioned out for this nature to use. And this is not me. The Buddha already told Ananda and all the monks, he who sees the Dhamma sees me. He never say he who see this physical form and mind of the Buddha sees me. Understand? What is the Dhamma? Embodiment of all the truth, all the teaching that he has understood and awakened to. That's why he who sees the Dhamma sees him. The Buddha is the complete perfection of virtue and wisdom of what the Dhamma has pointed out and allow it to awaken to. That's why that is the Buddha. It's not this statue, understand? You pay respect because you recall to mind the great virtue and great wisdom of Lord Buddha. That's why these are the four objects of veneration. Buddha Rupang Sakala Sada, Vandami Chetiyang Sama. Every time you chant, but you don't know what you chant, you go and pay respect to the form. Then no wonder those Christians and other religions say, we are idol worshipper. You worship statue. You cannot blame them. You yourself don't understand the thing. You also bow and pay respect to the statue. But those who understand, like the Buddha say, you pay respect because you recall to mind the great virtue and wisdom of great Lord Buddha, his perfection. That's why you must contemplate and reflect and understand who he is, what he is. You every time chant iti peso bhagava arahan like a parrot on you, you never contemplate, reflect, and you don't understand what the meaning is and what are the nine great virtues. When you come to know truly who he is, how great he is, how wise and virtuous he is, you will have great respect, unshakable respect and faith in him. And your gratitude towards him become unshakable. That's why you become very different. You will go all out to cultivate this teaching. But this is the teaching that can transform you, can make a great difference to your life, can bring forth the understanding to awaken you so that you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to become miserable anymore. Okay? So I hope I have answered your question. Okay? Any more questions? Why your son want to ask question? Oh, it's okay. You can ask whatever. Don't worry. Oh, you are from Subang, Educare. No, T-shirt Educare. Oh, Jayanti also have. We are HEBA also. They have this Educare every year, annual. It's I think annual event to help the poor child, I think, the poor student, by giving them a set of all those education things. Okay, no more questions. We better end. Exceeded 10 o'clock already.
Okay, before we end the sessions and transference of merit, we would like to extend to Brother Theo a token of appreciation.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Brother Joachim, this is for you, because he gave me the transport. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So he is very kind. He always offers back to your charity box. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. See, generosity can actually develop a lot of wholesomeness. He do that, you all can rejoice. And rejoicing is also a meritorious action. So there is so much joy in the sana. Through what? Through giving. But ultimately, there was no giving. Correct not? He gave to me. It's from your society. Merit done. Then I give to him. Then he gave back to you. That's why no giving. Asana. Whatever you give, go back to you. But this process created so much wholesomeness, so much joy. And this is what Dhamma is all about. You don't need money to do good. You don't need money or what they call materialistic wealth to be generous, understand? To bring about wholesomeness. You don't need. You only need to have good mind, good understanding and wisdom. Then all these are possible. Don't go and quote me and say, "Hey, we do merits and no need money." We follow Brother Theo. You go and give to that guy. That guy say, "Thank you," and they will come back. That's why you must learn. Not everybody is like us. Understand? If you have Dhamma, you give, then he will appreciate and give you back. But those that you give and he said, thank you so much. That is the last time you see him. Because sometimes you pity that person or what, I think he need help. But actually, he is, you know, a lot of this pretending on. They prey on your compassion in inverted comma. Chief Reverend last time, Kesri Damananda, used to tell us, don't be a good-hearted fool. You're very kind, very good-hearted, full of compassion, full of generosity. You want to make offering, but you don't have wisdom, is it? You offer to those who deceive you, cheat you, all out to actually prey upon your compassion. Oh, then you become a fool. So you are good-hearted, no doubt about it, but you are foolish because you cannot understand. You don't have mindfulness. You don't know what you are doing. You are greedy for merit. So, hey, I help beggar, no? I help these people, no? Or I offer to monk, no? Then you think a lot of merits. So your action is out of what? Out of greed. Whatever that has the evil root is not a pure action. No. So next time you give with understanding. Don't have craving, just give. Because the mind, the nature wants to give. Because you feel this is something that can help people. Then the moment you give, forget about right or wrong. Forget about whether he do it sincerely or not. That's what your nature wants to do. Then there is no remorse, nothing. Then there is no negativity in your mind state. Because you feel it at that time. And you want to do, you just do. All this you will start to develop the understanding as you cultivate. It's not something rigid. It depends on the condition. Different time, different condition, different. Different people you meet also different. Anasana. It doesn't mean that that person, if I see, then that time he was with that negativity, then my nature, no, I don't give. But it doesn't mean next time I see the same person, I will not give. No. We are human beings can be different. Like that day, I tell you in my office, this one you joke, really joke. That guy came and see me, you know, he got a shock, you know, he didn't know who I am. Then one day, he met one of my classmates, you know, Christian. Then he came over to my room. He expressed such great surprise, you know, is it true, Mr. Teo? He called me Mr. Teo. They say you can read people's mind. You can tell by looking at him. Because at one of our dinner, one of our classmates dinner, maybe, then we were sitting on that table. Then this Christian classmate came in. My nature can feel. I saw he was full of stress, full of fear. Then I knew something wrong. Then I asked him. Then from there, he thought I can read his mind. Then I told him, I said, who told you? See, your classmate lah. Oh, then he even read out the name, no? Then I knew. Then I said, oh, yeah, I think I know. Then he said, you can help me. He showed me one photo. He said, you can tell me or not, this guy reliable or not. Yeah, I want to do a business with him. I deal with him. I look at him. I say, you might as well give me your childhood photo. When you are a kid, you are so naive. From the photo show, I say he's naive. So he go to a Photoshop with the camera and put on the name card. You think he don't make out. You cannot read his mind state by looking at the photo. So, you know, that is that moment in what he was. But when I am near somebody, I can feel, I can sense. That one is very accurate. But I cannot read my, don't forget about all this. Sorry to use this word, BS. Because the worst thing is to read people's mind. It's like reading people's love letter and their own personal secret. Why you want to do that? Your own thought also you cannot see. You want to see and read people's thought. I tell you, it's the most gullible. You know how much thought go on or not within one moment. The Buddha say one flash of a lightning, billion of consciousness can pass by. Why you want to read thought? Not to say people cannot read, psychic can, but so what? You think what they read is the truth? The real one? That's why you have to be careful if it's not the pure psychic or the one that is a byproduct of that meditative experience. They call abhinya, spiritual penetration, like what the Buddha has, samasambuddha. Chances are, most of these are wrong. They are born of your conditioned mind, deluded mind, delusion. The conditioning come out. Then sometimes you thought, you can read, you can see your past. Just like in the Jataka story, there was one incident, I think. The person then came and said the teacher taught him to make offering to King Saka. Then in future when you die, you will be born in the heaven. Then the Buddha checked. He said, you go back and tell your teacher, he offer one more time, go down to hell. Because he did it 8 times, he can recall, he went up there. That was because of another good karma, understand not? When he was a monk, when he was cultivating, he got this energy field, psychic ability. Then he went and helped 9 monks who were trapped in the desert, very cold and all those things, without food. That was the parami that make him have those rebirth up there. Then he thought, because every life before he take rebirth up there, he was slaughtering all the chicken and all those things offered to King Saka. So he thought this was the one that conditioned him to take birth up there. See, he also can see repass life. Because he know the previous life he was born up there. So then after he died, he come down, he become human. Then he look back, again he offered that slaughtered chicken, then he went up. So he conclude, this is how you get it. Then he asked the student to do. Then Sakyamuni Buddha checked. He said, you tell your teacher. He do it one more time. Abhijit. Because this killing karma hasn't manifested. It's going to manifest. Because that good karma is going to expire. That's why when you don't have Samasambuddha's ability, you think you can read my. I go and read. It's very dangerous, I tell you. Don't touch all this. Like the Buddha said, past already gone, future yet to come, not a reality. The moment is the only reality, highest in life. Develop heedfulness, awareness, and you will never die. We are all this subject to birth and death. No point. Even Deva also has to go through birth and death. Okay, we better end. Sadhu. Okay, we'll do the quick sharing of merit. We chant in Pali. Sharing of merit to the Deva. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itawata ca amihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe dewa anumodantu sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kanyi Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
brothers and sisters, before you go back, please help yourself to some refreshments outside.